puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And we're going way back today on Abandoned Manitoba. With me at his home office, somewhere in the deep part of the province, Gordon Goldsborough from the Manitoba Historical Society is here. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
So remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, I said we were going to have another installment of our continuing series that I'm calling Remnants of Early Manitoba. And the idea is that these are things that people who had been living back in 1870, you know, when Manitoba became a province, mm-hmm. that they would recognize. You know, and so far we have considered fur trade structures back in January. In March, we looked at old churches. And this week, we're going to talk about houses, you know, the places where people live that are over 150 years old.
Yeah, one of my favorites. I'm fascinated with old houses. So do you know what the oldest house in Manitoba happens to be?
Well, it's a tough question to answer. You know, for example, some episodes back, we talked about some old buildings at Lower Fort Garry. Mm-hmm. You know, and there is one there that was the home of a fellow named William Fraser. The building dates from 1835. And so therefore, that would make it 185 years old. Mm-hmm. But the reality is much of its wood has been replaced through the years. So it's debatable whether it's an old building in the strict sense of the word. So, you know, there's that caveat.
Right.
The other is, you know, what do we consider a house? So, for example, here in Winnipeg on Taché Avenue, we have the Grey Nuns Convent.
Right.
And, you know, it's a religious structure, but of course it was also the home of nuns. And it dates to 1845, you know, making it 175 years old. But it's not really a single family residence. So I'm not sure that it counts as a, you know, a quote unquote house.
Right, right. So what would be the oldest surviving house that was occupied by a family?
Well, I think that distinction belongs to the Seven Oaks House, which is located in Northeast Winnipeg. Its construction started in 1851. Mm-hmm. It's made of oak logs, and basically they took logs and they squared them. They took axes or saws to square them to 7 inches on a side. So they're big, stout logs, mm-hmm. and then they stacked them to make solid wood walls. This a technique we've talked about in this series before.
Yes.
It's called Red River Frame. The construction, unfortunately, was halted by a catastrophic flood on the Red River that occurred in 1852. In fact, there's lots of historical records about the big flood of 1852.
Right.
And this site where they were building this house was covered to a depth of 4 feet. So it wasn't finished until the following year in 1853. And it's a two-story log building, has 9 rooms inside it. It was the home to the Inkster family. And if that name sounds familiar, well, it should, because there's quite a number of things around the province that have the Inkster name, including, of course, Inkster Boulevard here in Winnipeg that's named for them. Mm-hmm. The Inksters lived in the house until 1912, and then they turned it over to the city of Winnipeg. And in 1958, it became the Seven Oaks House Museum. So it's today it's a museum, but it has the distinction of being, if not the oldest, pretty much one of the oldest.
Interesting. Are there other houses from the 1850s from around that time?
Yeah, well, in fact, we have 4 other museum pieces that were all moved from their original locations. In other words, they're not where they were first built. So we have, for example, at the St. Norbert Heritage Parks, just south of Winnipeg, we have the Henderson House, which was built in 1854. It's a wooden building. We have the Ross House Museum over in Joe Zukin Park in Point Douglas. It was built in 1855. It's another wooden building. Out in St. James at the St. James Assiniboia Historical Museum, we have the 1856 home of William Brown and Charlotte Omond. And then back to St. Norbert, we have the DeLorme House from 1857, also a wooden building.
And so far, all of these houses have been made of wood.
Yeah, no, there must be some old stone houses, right? Well, yeah, in fact, we have the Scott House, which is along the Red River south of Lockport. It was a home to a fur trader named William Scott. It was completed in 1856. Today, well, unfortunately, it's not really a house per se. Really, all it is 4 stone walls. It's mm-hmm. pretty much empty. And of course, we have the Kennedy House along the Red River as well, built in 1866. And of course, lots of people know about it because it was very popular. You know, there was a tea room. There's been a variety of things through the years. Unfortunately, it's been standing vacant since 2015.
Really, and nothing going on in there, huh?
No, as far as I know, there's been nothing going on inside the building.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites. Drive down River Road and always take a peek at the Kennedy House. Always looked so well kept, you know.
Indeed.
So moving into the 1860s then, what do we have?
Okay, well, we have the Firth House, 1861. It's made of wood, and it was the home of Hudson Bay laborer, fellow named Thomas Firth. It's also along the Red River. We have the Barber House in Winnipeg, 1862, a wooden house, home of a fellow named Edmund Lorenzo Barber. We have over on Taché Avenue, again, the Archbishop's Residence, the home for the Archbishop of St. Boniface, built in 1864. We have the Bunn House, the home of farmer and MLA, Thomas Bunn, built in 1864 also. And then we have the Cox House, also along the Red River. It was home to the Cox family until the mid-1970s. It was built around 1865. Yeah. So quite a few houses from the 1860s.
Yeah, more numerous than I would have thought.
Yeah, well, and, you know, of course, the reality is a lot of them are along the Red River because that's where fur traders would often retire. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after they'd spent their careers working all over North America, they would come to the Red River settlement to settle down and, of course, build a house. And that's why we have such an abundance of them along the Red River.
And coming up to the birth of Manitoba, how about the 1870s?
Well, this is where it starts to get hard to tell that a house is old because, you know, a lot of these houses from the 1870s are still in use today. And a lot of times they've been, you know, had a modern exterior. They might have, you know, modern vinyl siding, for example, on the outside. You know, they might not look like that, an old house, you know. So there's probably many more than what we know about, but we know about a few. So in the Wolseley area, for instance, there's the Fools House from 1872. And going back to the Inksters again, we have the Inkster House on Main Street, from 1874. In fact, it was in the news not long ago. It was damaged in a fire.
In a fire, yeah. And would stone foundations be a key to something being from the late 1800s?
Well, definitely, you know, because once we get into the 1900s, we start seeing concrete for foundations. So yeah, stone foundations are always a good clue that the house is probably, well, no newer than around 1910, because they started using concrete around then. But if it's got a stone foundation, yeah, probably a good clue that it's an older one.
So all these homes so far are in Winnipeg or near Winnipeg. So are there any old ones elsewhere in Manitoba?
Well, you know, the thing is, there's not a lot of communities around Manitoba that precede Confederation. Of course, Confederation, you know, Canadian Confederation in 1867. And therefore, there's not very many possibilities of pre-Confederation homes. But there is an exception at Portage la Prairie. You know, there, my friend James Kostichuk, who's very active in heritage matters, he believes that a house that's located on Portage Avenue, not the one in here in Winnipeg, but the one in Portage, it's actually near Crescent Lake, it was built in the 1850s, you know, which was pretty early for Portage. Yeah. But it was built as a church, and it was at the original location of Portage la Prairie, which is not quite where Portage is located today. It's kind of a little bit southeast, well, near the actual St. Mary's la Prairie Anglican Cemetery today. So it was a church, and then in 1889, it was very carefully disassembled, and the logs that it was made of were moved over to the present location, and they were rebuilt into the form of a house. Hmm. In other words, the materials are pre-Confederation, but the building itself is not.
Right.
Now, unfortunately, the building is vacant, and as of January, at least, I was told that it was up for sale. The Municipal Heritage Advisory Committee, the group that advises the city council about heritage matters, they determined that the building did not meet the criteria for municipal designation. So it's feared that it probably will be demolished, this building in Portage from the 1850s.
So if someone's listening and wants to find other old buildings around Manitoba, how can they do that?
Well, one of the ways is they can use the interactive database of historic sites that the Manitoba Historical Society has developed. You know, it's available on our website. And you can find specific types of buildings using keywords. You know, so for example, if I search the database using the keyword house, you know, I see a map of historic houses marked on it. If I want to go deeper, I can combine the keyword house with the keyword year equals 1854. And this will find me houses that are built in 1854. Now that's pretty specific, say the 1854, and there may not be very many houses like that. So if you search for house and year equals 185, in other words, you omit the last digit, just put 185, it'll find all houses built in the 1850s.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Yeah, and so you can search for year equals 186 to find the ones from the 1860s and so on. And this way, of course, you can find quite a lot of houses. And this is just one example of what we call metadata, meaning it's a data about the data in this database of historic places, and we're gradually adding more metadata that will allow a person to search for, well, for other things. You know, you can search for specific materials. So if you want to find houses made of stone, you can search for that. If you want to find specific buildings made of bricks and so on, you can search for the materials. You can search for specific architects. If you want to find buildings that were designed by a particular architect that you find interesting, or by a specific contractor. The only thing I would warn people is that it's still very much a work in progress. You know, it's something that improves day by day, but it's not all complete just yet.
Yeah, as a nod to how much work goes into that that you guys do at the Manitoba Historical Society.
Absolutely. It's a labor of love, and, you know, we work on it all the time, but it's still evolving yet.
Yeah, and if somebody knows about, say, a pre-Confederation house that they don't find in your database, should they contact you?
Absolutely. You know, tell me what something about it. Tell me as much about it, the construction materials as you can know. If you know anything about who owned the building and when, you know, and if we can confirm its age, I will definitely add it to the database.
Awesome. And everything we've talked about today will be on the Manitoba Historical Society website under the Abandoned Manitoba icon as well today, right?
Absolutely. And of course, there's pictures for all the buildings that I've talked about. There's more information whenever we have it. So by all means, check it out.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Gordon, for this. Give us a clue for next week.
Well, we're going to start another periodic series, just like the one today. And we're going to talk about the stories on a common theme. In this case, it'll be the history of parking lots. Now, people may misunderstand what I mean by that. I mean, I don't mean the history of the actual parking lot, because that's not very interesting, but more exactly what occupied the site before it became a parking lot. Here in Winnipeg, we have numerous open sites along busy commercial streets,
yes,
that were once the sites of noteworthy buildings, and
yeah,
they've been demolished in the name of, well, shall we say, quote unquote, progress.
Yeah.
And so next week we're going to begin this series with a look at some noteworthy parking lots along Main Street.
Okay, awesome. Look forward to it, Gordon. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks very much, Bruce. Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.